Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. And joining me, regular contributors Joan O'Sara with The New York Times and Rana Fruhart with Time Magazine. And the Affordable Care Act, more commonly known as Obamacare, is 1 year old this month. Millions of Americans are getting health insurance for the first time, and yet at the same time this week, we learned that Walmart is cutting health benefits for about 30,000 part-time workers. Now, it can do this because the law says that companies don't have to offer insurance to employees who work less than 30 hours a week. And Rana, obviously there's a lot of reasons why Walmart is doing this, like saving money. And yet, can you make the argument that this might actually be a good thing for those employees?
Well, you can, and some people have, because if you make under a certain amount of money and you're working part-time, you're a lower-income person, you can actually get subsidies as part of the sort of incentive to get you onto the healthcare exchanges that are part of Obamacare. So a lot of these folks may actually, in numerical terms, end up doing better by being off of Walmart healthcare and going onto the health exchanges and buying their own insurance.
And that's something that we saw with Trader Joe's and some of the other companies when they cut insurance for the part-time workers, that actually a lot of people ended up signing up through the health insurance and getting the subsidies.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one other thing that's good that has not come to pass, there was a big worry that a lot of companies would try and forcibly put people on part-time work to get around having to provide health care. That hasn't happened. We've seen a lot of people who are part-time being cut, but we're not seeing extra workers being made part-time as part of the health care situation.
Do you think that this is something that we'll see more employers actually do that, what you're describing, or try and find ways to kind of get around some of the rules so they don't have to provide health care?
Oh, I think absolutely they will continue to do this. You know, the real question is whether at some point, an employer will decide that they'd rather pay the fine than provide the health care for the majority of
this
employees.
This is the fine that if they don't provide health care that they have to pay
right.
the government.
And it's quite clear that the fine is less expensive than providing health care. I mean, I think we're a ways from that. But it's in the realm of possibility.
I mean, that's a kind of an amazing thing. It's a $2,000 fine per person. But when you look at the percentage that health care makes up of most employees' compensation, it can be 20 or 30% in some cases. I mean, it's a really big number.
Most people get their insurance from their employer. And we've been seeing this shift where there's really high deductibles that people have to pay before their insurance actually kicks in. Is this something that the Affordable Care Act is making happen even more?
I think it is the trend. And I also wonder if things like high deductibles are one of the reasons that you're seeing some bending of the health care cost curve. People are spending a little less than they have in the past on health care. But why is that? Is it because the economy's slower? They don't have the money? Is it because they've got a huge deductible and they simply don't want to take the hit? These are big questions.
Well, there's also people who think it's in part, at least, because of some of the incentives written into Obamacare that are causing doctors and hospitals and patients to be more efficient with the healthcare dollar.
Basically, the whole idea of turning patients into consumers, I'm going to have this procedure and not do this procedure.
Exactly.
I mean, we have seen the percentage of people who have health insurance has actually increased, and that a lot of people are getting healthcare, and yet there's still 30 to 40 million people without healthcare. So is the law working? Is it a success?
I think if you look back to where we were a year ago, which was basically that Obamacare was an unadulterated disaster. You know, it was this huge political crisis. I think we've come a long way. I think the fact that, people are getting care on the exchanges, that they are less likely to have a health care emergency, which, by the way, is the reason that one-third of Americans cycle in and out of poverty. That's a good thing.
I mean, the bottom line is somewhere between 8 million and 12 million people have insurance today who didn't have insurance. And that's a good thing. One can envision this continuing. I mean, to me, the biggest problem right now is that somewhere around half the states have refused to expand Medicaid as Obamacare envisions and has been part of the law. And because of that, there's a lot of people who would be eligible for Medicaid now as part of Obamacare who are not.
So what has surprised you in this last year and in the rollout of Obamacare?
Well, actually, first of all, the Republican chant against it has not changed one iota, despite the fact that it is clearly on a good track and on a track that's helping a lot of people. I mean, the beginning was a true disaster, but that's really calmed down. Yet in Congress, at least, The opposition to it is ferocious as ever.
One of the things that I find heartening is that this is a big change. And we've been talking about big changes in healthcare for a long time, and Americans have been very resistant. Many of us who have lived abroad and experienced other systems, socialized medicine, single-payer systems, have been surprised about that. But I'm heartened. You know, people have accepted a big change, and it makes me kind of hopeful that maybe we'll move more in the direction of having, a single-payer system that would put less onus on business and help us to be more internationally competitive.
Yeah, but isn't that exactly what Republicans and conservatives don't want?
Well, it is. That is true.
Well, you know, you can argue about it from a political stance, but really, if you look at the numbers, we spend 50% more than our nearest national competitor in terms of health care, and we have poor outcomes based on that. I mean, there's just very little evidence that the current system is working. And healthcare is not a typical market. You know, we know markets don't work for everything. Healthcare is one of those decisions that you're not going to make it the same way you make buying a pair of shoes. So I simply don't think that making it private is the way to go.
Well, let's look at some of the other stories we're watching. Joe, what are you paying attention to?
Well, I'm paying attention to a series of negotiations that are going on right now and maybe into the weekend between the regulators and the big banks and the big financial institutions. And this is about a major change that they might make in the way derivatives are settled if there's another crisis.
Derivatives, the complicated relationships and insurance bets in a way between different companies.
And which are in the trillions and trillions of dollars, and which can bring down the financial system faster than just about anything else.
Rana, what are you watching?
So I'm interested in the fact that the U.S. is once again, for the first time since the financial crisis, the engine of global growth. One of the things that's become clear at the IMF and World Bank meetings in this past week has been that the U.S. is keeping everybody else afloat. It looks like our growth, which is just a little above 3%, may actually match or even beat world growth this year. That's a big change. Europe's tipping back into recession. China's having a debt crisis, so it's all on us.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's news at WNYC.org. Don't forget, you can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Joe Nocera with The New York Times, Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.